Welcome to
Wrinkled
Not Dead.
I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Mike.
We may be over 50, but we're here to prove we're still relevant.
And we have lots of real-world advice on confronting the challenges, but having fun getting older.
We're wrinkled.
Not dead.
Let's do this.
Hello, and thank you for taking some of your valuable time to listen to episode number 63 of Wrinkled Not Dead. I'm Mike Bell.
And I'm Jen Bell.
We do appreciate your time. It's very, 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 very nice of you to join us. We are in self-help. We've been married for 34 years, pretty quick. Anyway, a long time. And I'm 65, and Jen is 60 years of age, and we have reinvented ourselves, as it is very important to do.
Yeah, we have a company called Michael Bell Productions, have had since 1989, and we do TV production, we do corporate training, we do speeches, you name it, we do it if you can hear it or see it. And so...
if you can see it or hear it. Well, look at it.
Well, that's what we do.
Exactly,
and so
we do.
If you need any of that, go to michaelbellproductions.com, but also everything about Wrinkled Not Dead, including our podcast, is on wrinklednotdead.com. And if you can... share with your friends
or
and
follow us
and like us, and also
rate us.
5 stars would be great. But
why couldn't we get 6
on iTunes or wrinklednotdead.com? We'd love it.
So every program that we have, every podcast has a central theme, but now we've started to take a look around to find a quote that kind of sets it up. How would you like to say it this time?
Well, actually, the quote is from Madonna.
Ah, the singer.
The singer, and man...
who's wrinkled, not dead.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And she says, you have to reinvent to stay fresh, to stay in the game.
Yeah, she's done a pretty good job of that.
Has she ever? I mean, she still is appealing to the young people,
yeah.
And in a very kind of sexy, sexual way, as she always has.
You know.
In her 50s. I mean, that's amazing. She's in great shape.
Yes, she is.
She stays ahead of the curve. She always looks current, so... my hat is off to Madonna. Whether you like her singing or not, it goes out to her being so
interesting. Yeah, I know. She's
interesting.
She is an inspiration in a lot of ways.
She really is.
Rose and thorn. A rose is something great that happened during the week, and a thorn is something that's not so good, but we try to get some kind of a lesson from it. So I have a wonderful rose this week. I have just been speaking with my, compatriots up in Canada. With the brick, and been our spokesman, 40 some years, a long time. But now we're kind of moving into a different area, and I'm so excited about it because it's in new media. We're going to be working in new media, so I'm really excited about that. That is definitely my rose. But my thorn, and I'm so unhappy to have to say this, but my dear brother Ron and our sister-in-law lost their dog Joey across the Rainbow Bridge this week. And Joey was 13, but a mountain climber. A most unusual dog. Not a huge dog. A small
little dog.
Just a little dog. Mm-hmm. But there's pictures of Joey on top of huge mountains in Canada, in the snow. I mean, what a wonderful life. What a wonderful life she had.
An exceptional dog.
Yes.
Joey, wherever you are, you're playing with our Lucy Lou
and
all the others.
I know. So what's your rose and thorn this week, my dear?
Well, my rose is exciting. I'm doing yet another job for executive vocabulary.
What's that?
That is to expand your vocabulary. Oh. Words that you have heard of, but you don't really know the meaning, and they tell you the meaning. And we also explain how to use them in a sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really fun. It's very concentrated. It's usually many, many hours at the microphone, standing up.
Pages and pages and pages.
And, you know, words that I know but don't know that I don't use every day. And so I have to really do a lot of practicing in advance, rehearsing in advance, and be prepared when I go in. But even when I go in, we have to sometimes say, is that exactly how you say that word?
I know.
So I love it, and thank you for the job again.
Yeah,
and looking forward to it.
Yeah. I know when you do this, it's so intense.
Very.
But the whole concept is great because, you know, it empowers junior executives, senior executives. If you have a good vocabulary, you have power.
Oh, it's huge.
This is a really good idea.
It's a very good idea.
Very good idea.
And now my thorn, unfortunately, it was... well, fortunately and unfortunately, it was 4th of July last this last week.
That's right.
And I was house sitting and dog sitting. I always say babysitting, but dog sitting.
That's okay.
Lulu and Claudia, and Lulu's a standard poodle, and she's very afraid of loud noises. And so I prepared with your help. You called me at 8:15 and said, get the dogs up into the back bedroom.
Yeah.
I put on music. Antonio Carlos Jobim music.
Yeah, we had the jam box
with
on.
The jam box. I put the television set on. I put the fan on. And I try to distract her from any noise. But at the very end, when they have the finale of the fireworks, she felt the house shake a little bit. And she just started shaking. She jumped off the bed.
Oh.
So I got down on the ground with her. I put my arms around her. And I tried to make a rustling noise, like patting her ears and kissing her muzzle. And it helped. But man, it just made me feel so sorry for those dogs that were lost and were left outside and ran away. Can you imagine the sound of that?
I know.
Makes me so angry with those owners, those mothers and fathers, but I guess they were owners because they didn't take care of their dogs properly.
Yeah.
So next 4th of July or next Canada Day, please keep your pets indoors.
Yep, good point. All I did was I turned on Pandora and now they have a Beatles channel. So I turned that on because I know the words to every song. So I sang all the songs to the dogs.
Aww.
Blackbird was a big favorite.
It's a sad one, though.
I don't find Blackbird sad song.
I do.
And Here Comes the Sun was another big crowd favorite.
Aww.
So we had actually a very good time and nobody freaked out here. Okay, so there's a rose, a thorn, and a bud.
Tell me about your bud.
A bud is something that is about to bloom. And, well, I have to say, I'm going back to the thing with the brick, but it's finally getting to use our social media skills.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we've been doing this show, consecutive weeks, 63 weeks in a row, we have learned so very much about the whole concept of social media. And so I'm finally, you know, going to be able to use those skills, and I can't wait. I am on fire about this.
Yeah, so you see, even from this podcast came another job, a different job, but related to the podcast, which is exciting.
Something you really didn't expect.
Yeah.
Unintended consequence, I guess.
Well, you're really good at Snapchat and Instagram stories. And
took a while to learn that stuff,
though.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, just keeping up is craziness. It is.
But it's fun. And that leads me to fun facts.
Unbelievable. A fun fact. Oh, my God. Well, you must be a professional. What is a fun fact?
This is just something, you know, that we found that we thought was kind of interesting.
Made me laugh.
Do you know that chickens can see daylight 45 minutes before humans can?
That's unbelievable.
Well, think about mourning doves.
Yeah, they must have the same skill
base.
They
must have the same skill base, or a rooster.
Or roosters, yeah.
So, but I thought, wow. So
45
minutes before we can see daylight.
Huh. I just love the sound of the mourning doves in the morning.
Yeah,
just,
I do too.
It's still very dark. I guess they'd call it false dawn when they start.
Probably.
Right?
And I wonder if they actually see or they sense it.
Hmm, good.
It's
a fun fact. So I conducted an interview this week. It's something I've been waiting to do for a long time. And it's with Brad Everts and his wife, Julie. So you can do the introduction, but I get all the glory because I had a great time with them.
Yeah, well, Brad is an old friend of ours and a great guy. And 60 years old, and he's had 5 successful restaurants over the many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And he is going to be starting a new one at the age of 60 with his wife, Julie. And it's exciting to hear the enthusiasm of someone reinventing themselves and starting a new restaurant at this age. Go for it.
And in a beautiful little space, I'm with Brad and Julie Everts. I think this is your office for now, and then maybe turn into something else. I have questions for you. Do you have answers for me?
We have answers.
Excellent. I can't wait to do this. Tell us a little bit about your career history, Brad.
I have trouble starting before Julie.
Why?
It's always girls first. Okay.
She's interested in what you're going to say, trust me.
Right. In 1986, I decided to open a restaurant and move my family out from Colorado here to San Diego. We had a one-year-old daughter. It was 87 that we moved out to open our first restaurant. So My career started with restaurants and wanting to own my own restaurant at a very young age while I was going to college, and decided that the industry was very interesting at that time. And we opened our first restaurant, and it was an out of the park home run.
Here in San Diego.
Here in California. San Diego, in Del Mar. We went around and selecting the right area, and we felt Del Mar was the right area. We had friends that owned other businesses in the Del Mar area, and it seemed like the right spot. So we ended up opening five award-winning restaurants. Each was different in theme. Each was exciting and very successful.
Did you know... Julie, did you know Brad initially when you moved out here from Colorado?
No, I didn't. Okay. I met Brad, though. We're a blended family, so I met Brad 15 years ago. But okay. I did meet him at his restaurants.
You did?
I was a customer first.
Excellent.
On the fifth restaurant, when we got into that fifth one, in 2003, the end of 2003, I was planning our fifth restaurant. And Julie was very helpful
with
that.
Of these things, you say they're all different. What guided you to that decision? Well, first of all, what was the first one? What type of cuisine was it?
The cuisine back then, it was really the chefs were culinary, and they were creating new recipes. You didn't find the recipes on the internet like you do now. A chef is really a chef, and they were a lot of them were going to a culinary school, and so I sought after that type of a chef out of Hyde Park, New York.
Oh.
And we had a cuisine of Southwestern cuisine, which was unheard of. It was taking Mexican food out of the streets and putting it into more of a fine dining atmosphere with custom margaritas, craft margaritas, as they call them now. And we were able to create a lot of the things that you see even today that were created by our restaurants. The second one was also Southwestern, but also with a twist of Mexico. It was a Baja Bar and Grill. So my roots really have always been with the flavors and the bounty of New Mexico and Mexico, the chilies and the herbs and the people and the cuisines out of those areas and regions.
So, Julie, what were you doing at that time?
Oh, I was raising two children on my own and in a corporate leadership role in the hospitality industry, and then moved into escrow, where I stayed in corporate leadership for 32 years.
So fascinating work.
Oh, yeah. It's fascinating. It's stressful.
I'm serious. It probably was very stressful.
Right. Yeah, it was.
You know, it's people's money you're talking about.
No, it was.
Right. So we were all, basically, we were all here together, and we were actually patrons of your restaurants all the way down the line. But then, as we all know, 2008 happened. And I'll share with you before I ask you what happened to you, is that our business dropped easily 45%. Everything just went to hell in a handbasket. What was the experience for you?
My business dropped 100%. Maybe 110.
Why do we laugh? Because we're crying.
Oh, it's easy. It's easy. You know, at the beginning when I started, it was such a different world with agencies and governmental agencies and opening. It was just a whole lot different. And I survived through a recession. 91, there was a horrible recession, and I sailed through like Scully landed the airplane. You know, I mean, really, I didn't
just
even
glide
know.
Over the Hudson.
I had no idea what a recession was, to be honest with you. And
really?
You know, making choices in life helped along with that 2008. I mean, choices such as trying to open too many different concepts instead of, which I've learned now in my elder years, I learned that. And branding being the key word, I could have branded the first one and just branded that and had the opportunity to and opened it all over the world. And instead of trying to, my creative mind, my entrepreneur mind, always is wanting to create the next thing. So I went from one to the next. Each one was a different name. Each one was a different theme.
Yeah.
And then in that period, got older and went through a divorce. And so my legs had been knocked out from underneath me. I had learned prior to 2008 a very important thing, which is in life, you're judged by how well you rise after you fall. So yeah. I had to pick my bootstraps up and I had to just keep charging forward. I was too young to just give up. Uh-huh. And so my legs had been knocked out from under me before 2008, but I survived the 91 recession.
So both of them, yeah. So at, say in 2008, Julie, were you still doing the real estate thing?
I was still in real estate.
So and well, how did that,
okay,
now
so,
the stress. Now
so the stress. Subprime market went in the tank. And if you can imagine, business ended, dead stop. And it took a lot of survival to keep branches open, to keep people working,
yeah,
until we could start filling the pipeline with REO business and repossessions and short sales. Yeah. And it turned into a whole different market.
Were you scared?
It was definitely a wild ride.
Yeah.
I was never scared, but it was a huge challenge. And when you're in leadership for so many people, you have a real sense of loyalty to try to keep them working in that kind of a stressful economy.
Yeah. I just, in our own experience, I think we were still too dumb to know that it was going to get worse. You always think, well, you know, these things end and it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. But to many people in our community here in Southern California, 2008 has never really ended.
Right, that's true.
It really hasn't. But come to the positive, now you're 60 years old, Brad. Now you're reinventing yourself. You're going back into this business, and it's not an easy business, I assume. And so tell us about what has changed in your mindset, if anything, about approaching this kind of venture again.
Well, as a general partner, you go down with the ship if you're a good general partner. You yeah. protect your limiteds, and when things get rough and things get tough, you take the hits and the falls with the agencies, the sales tax, and on and on and on. So
yeah, for sure.
In 2008, when we went from having a phenomenal deal to having nothing, I couldn't just jump right back into a business because I was on the radar as a general partner,
sure,
going down with the ship. So I had to fly under the radar for quite a while. Mm-hmm. And my beautiful wife and I, Julie was instrumental in the Fifth Restaurant, very instrumental in the whole concept and putting it together. So I knew we could work really well together. So I was excited about an opportunity called the internet and doing social media. Mm-hmm. And reinventing myself at that point seemed like I had to pick a different career. I thought I was done with the restaurant industry.
Really?
And we came up with a concept that was really unique and different, we thought, that was in the social media line, probably at the same time our daughter did. Mm-hmm. But our daughter was succeeding at a rate that was unbelievable and monetizing. And while I sat there over a computer, and I really was never happy. We were never really happy. It wasn't where we belonged. Mm-hmm. So for me, starting in a new business at 60, doing some 60 is it to me is means nothing. And that's how I approach life. For me, I'm as excited about this as I was at 27, starting my first restaurant, because I'm passionate about it. I care about it. And if you're passionate about something and you care about something, then that should never change. Mm-hmm. You know, just because I'm 60.
Yeah.
I just don't allow that to enter my mind that I'm 60. I'm as excited as I was about the first one. I've learned from my mistakes, so I'm excited about that too, because I'm not going to make the same mistakes again.
Yeah.
I'm set in concrete with my family, which is the most important thing to me. Mm-hmm. My faith is important to me. My family is important to us. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm really... what's different is that... when I'm on the tennis court with my nephew, who's the same age as my daughter, I can't keep pushing that hard because my left leg starts to numb up. So that's probably the biggest difference I noticed.
The wheels falling off, are they, bro?
Otherwise, you know, I'll tell you what's else different is doing this restaurant this time around. It's the first one we've done that is not from the ground up. It's not brand new. We're taking over existing place. We have an unbelievably 1987 opportunity deal with our lease, which was unheard of. Otherwise, I would never even have considered it.
Okay.
But the agencies and the regulations and the governmental hand ties that are, I mean, it takes 10 years to build a bridge now that used to take 6 months.
Yeah.
The Empire State Building right now would take 100 years to build, my God, to run through the agency.
Look at the Freedom Tower in New York City.
I mean,
look how long
just,
that took.
It's
an embarrassingly long time.
So, I mean,
there's a question for you, and this is for you, Julie. Does that mean that the society that we live in here in the United States is just more cautious now than we were a decade or so ago?
I'll speak to it because I don't think we can speak to it globally as far as the United States as a whole, but I can tell you that this stretch of Southern California is not terribly, on a local level, proactive in getting small businesses to launch.
Yeah.
It's a very difficult and daunting process.
Why is that a thing?
I'm not sure.
I don't get it. I really don't.
Well, we don't want to get political.
No,
religion. No, so we'll stay out of those two things.
on the Wrinkled Not Dead, we don't swear. We don't have anything to do with politics. It's a very freeing, liberating thing, you know.
I'm hugging
and our listeners love
the microphone
that.
Like it's a tree right now.
Okay. You've always done that,
yeah.
Though. Okay. All right. Okay. So what's the theme? Describe in detail what's the theme of this restaurant and what's it going to be called?
Well, I think we're going to keep the name. It's up to Julie.
We're not
going to
keep the name.
Oh, we're not? Oh, okay.
It's called Alce 101.
Alce 101.
Spell that for me.
A-L-C-E.
Does that mean something in Spanish?
It does.
What happened was dealing with the agencies. I mean, we literally have gone 2 years trying to structure this deal. I've never had to go 2 years. And if we didn't have the landlord of the property as a partner,
yeah,
we would never have survived. No one would survive. Thus is why where we're going is so thin with business, because the agencies, the city officials, and the neighbors keep things very closed down. So Alce came about because they poo-pooed the first name, mm-hmm, which at that time, through our meetings, Julie and I had to go to 5 different city council meetings, neighborhood meetings,
gosh,
and they wanted me to change the name. Was a big deal, and okay, it wasn't such a big deal less. I really never even liked the name.
Yeah.
So I put that in the hip pocket. I'm not going to...
No, it's okay.
I won't talk about what I want to argue for.
All I'm really interested in
is the name.
Is what the heck Alce.
Well, that's why
where did it come from?
We came because we love moose, the name, and we don't want to use moose because it's been used. Alce means moose in Spanish.
You have a dog named Moose.
Well, that was a demand by one of our daughters that gave it to us that we had to stay on brand.
Whoa, this is a story, you guys. Okay, you got a dog named Moose, but the moose came after the name,
right?
Alce, correct?
Can I tell them how we got
started? Please, I'm begging
yes,
you.
Of course.
So Brad and I were antique shopping. We were actually looking for something for our grandbaby. And in this antique store was this enormous moose head. It's like, you know, a taxidermy piece. And it was just...
And Brad lifts the shroud, and there is the moose head. I'll take a picture. I'll post it on the blog,
you
guys.
You must.
I will.
Okay, wait till you hear about the rest of the
story. I'm looking up his nostrils, but
so
go ahead.
We were fascinated by it because it was literally laying in a corner on the, you know, halfway covered, and we just thought, how tragic. I mean, that's an incredible moose. Not that I want to hang it on my wall, but what a sad ending for a majestic creature. So we asked about it, and it ended up being the moose head that Roy Rogers tagged and had hanging in his museum.
You can't make this stuff up, folks.
It's true. Anyway, we laughed it there. We had the story. That was really interesting to us. And then we came home, and we went about our battles. And when it came time to change the name... We both said, what about Moose?
If we kept the name, he was going up anyway. Being philanthropic, we aren't big game hunters, but...
Not at all.
You know, but we understand the power of Instagram and Snapchat and those things. And
yeah,
and he's such a beautiful specimen. And one step further, when I was 6 years old with my dad, my father was, the man he worked for was a partner with Roy Rogers. So we went out to Palmdale, and I'll never forget going in Roy Rogers' Palmdale Museum. He was known for stuffing everything except for Dale, his wife. But so here's his moose head.
Yeah.
And I never will forget looking up at that moose head and the bear. and a horse, I think, as well. But the moosehead I'll never forget. So when I saw it, I wow. And then I read the headlines about it that they had. They had a certificate with it, the authenticity papers.
Provenance.
Provenance.
There you go.
And I looked at them, and it, lo and behold, it's the same moose that was in his Palmdale Museum that I saw when I was six years old with my father.
That is an amazing story. It truly is. Well, I will take a photograph of the moose to post on wrinklednotdead.com. Final question for both of you.
I never did mention the cuisine. The cuisine is Southwest.
No, you didn't mention it.
Okay.
No, you didn't. No.
Okay.
Cough it up.
It is south. It's farm to table meets the Southwest. So we're doing real fresh, local ingredients, but it's all Southwestern fare, like we did at our first restaurant in '87. It's made its round again, and it's very popular. We have some new twists to it, but we'll bring back some old favorites. And then we're making our own tequila down in Jalisco. We actually went down there a couple of weeks ago and sealed our deal and chose our piñas, which is the agave, and are making our own tequila.
It's like
and
a we'll big old bowling ball, isn't it?
They are amazing. Yeah, they're like a big old pineapple is what
they
are.
A big old pineapple.
Or
right.
an egg, a dinosaur egg in Game of Thrones.
So you can, obviously we're in the office and you probably hear somebody's car alarm going off, but we don't care. This is organic. This is the way we do things. Now can I ask you, where do you see yourself in 5 years, Brad Everts?
I see myself where I am now because what we've gone through is what we discovered through the simplicities of life and really what makes us happy, which is being a strong faith-driven family with our children and their families that they're now having, and to remain childlike with our own lives and keep that childlike behavior in our own lives. And so for setting goals, I mean, I believe the restaurant's going to be a huge success. We have aspirations to move it to another location even. But I'm not going to set goals at this time. I'm just going to live each day because I'm so grateful and thankful that we were able to come out of more than just 2008. There's all kinds of challenges in life, and you just have to be, you just got to keep powering forward. You can't give up. Never give up.
Julie, I see your head bobbing.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like you're in full agreement.
I am in full agreement. I can't even tell you how many times I've had to pull my boots really high and, you know, get up and get kicking again. It makes you grateful for every day when you don't have to kick as hard.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Looking at courage in the eyes right now, I am, and I know things are going to be fantastic for you.
Oh, thank you, Mike.
No,
we're looking
not
forward
at all.
To it.
You know, when you look somebody in the eye for 25 minutes, it's okay. You know about these people. Go for it. Have fun. Enjoy it.
Go for it.
See? That's why we call it reinvention intention.
Man.
Aren't
does
they cool?
He and Julie both get it. They both get that you need to move with the times and have something different each time out. And his enthusiasm.
I know.
And her enthusiasm at the ages that they are is just refreshing.
Well, it was great. I'm sorry for the audio in there, but they have this a small office that I think is going to be a part of the restaurant. Anyway, it was vacant at the time. So just So it's kind of a little echoey in there, but you certainly got the content out of it. Anyhow.
Well, you do. And it's important to bring authentic material
True.
To you.
That's absolutely
this is
right.
where it was. This is what is happening. Nothing is doctored here.
Yeah,
nothing
no fake
is fake
stuff.
Here. It's real people with real jobs.
Yep. Which we'll be doing again soon, too. Another
exactly.
in that series, Real People with Real Jobs. That's always great.
I
love doing
great.
Those interviews as well.
So good luck, Brad and Julie. It's going to be a success.
Of
I can
course,
tell.
Absolutely. Without question. No question about it. Jen's Health Minute is next.
Well, mine's kind of different than it normally is. I was watching a TV commercial, and it was about a firefighter.
Yeah.
And the firefighter was going in to fight a very big fire, like a forest fire.
So he was preparing.
He was preparing.
Gearing up. With
gearing thing. Up. And he was putting on Depend.
Huh.
Depend are like those, you know, those...
Underwear things?
They're underwear things that
absorb.
If you have leakage or whatever.
Right.
And he said something along the lines in the commercial about... this is how I prepare because I can't get away to go to the bathroom. I'm going to fight this big forest fire. And I thought, wow, so many people are embarrassed about wearing an undergarment like Depend for leakage.
Huh.
My mother, for example.
Yeah.
And when I told her this story that, you know, firefighters do this and God knows who else could be using
yeah,
them.
Right.
Which let's say a surgeon that had a 5 or 6 hour heart surgery to do. Can you imagine?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, God, the possibilities here are endless. There was a way of looking at these products, though, in the past that, you know, had associated with some embarrassment. And people have got to get past that.
They have absolutely to get back to get past that, because this gentleman clearly did not have that problem, but wanted to use them so he could continue focusing on the job at hand.
Right, yeah.
So that's my health minute. So if you need to wear a Depend or any kind of undergarment like that, don't be embarrassed.
Yeah, they've
go
changed,
ahead and do
that's
it.
For sure. Yeah. Evolved, yeah. Time off.
You take that one.
Oh, God. Well, we couldn't wait. we had to wait while you were doing the dog-sitting job, so we missed we were hanging on to the final episode of Black Sails. And so we finally got a chance to see it, and it was great. It was a terrific ending to a terrific season. I think it went for 5 years. Something like that.
I think it was five seasons. It's on Stars.
Yeah, Stars, right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what was great about it is that we've been to the area a number of times in the past, but you learned so much about the history of pirates and the government and how all of these things interacted. And the show was a bit glam at first. We've seen, their teeth are too good and all that, but man, the storyline was fantastic.
Fantastic. And you learn about the English and the Spanish
and
the wars that were going on there. And mm-hmm. it was very interesting. So if you get a chance, check it out. And the ending is superb.
Oh, yeah. We won't say anything about it.
No.
Okay. Remember when.
It's sort of going back to thinking about the good old days.
Yeah. Well, as soon as I say this word, these two words, I have something in my nose. I smell Woolworth's lunch counter.
Yeah.
Wasn't that an amazing... I mean, when you were a kid, you'd see those beautiful machines for making malts and milkshakes and stuff. And it always smelled vaguely of grease.
French fries.
It smelled like French fries. But it was a wonderful thing. And you'd have those little stools to sit on. And it was a real staple of my childhood. I know that. Woolworth's, I believe, was founded under a different name. Wasn't it?
It was Woolworth's Great 5 Cent Store.
Oh, okay.
And it was founded in 1878, and then it more or less went out of business in 1997 because at that point they failed to reinvent themselves. Now, our memories of like my grandmother taking me to Woolworth's and she going in just to buy like, you know, shoelaces so we could actually go and sit at the counter and have our French fries and milkshake. I can still...
I know.
That milkshake was so cold coming out of that steel container.
Yeah, I know.
And then there was always leftover to pour up the glass. They handed it to you.
They did it right.
So that was great. Mm-hmm. But the problem is they didn't move with the times.
However,
tell the story.
Yeah, they did in a way, and this is along the theme of the show again today, they did manage to reinvent themselves in different ways. A subsidiary of Woolworth's became Foot Locker.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Very, and Debenhams in England. I used to go to Debenhams all the time when I was going to school in England. And so they kind of closed down their remember when type of thing, but then opened up different things later on.
Yeah, and so they're still out there. Woolworth's is still out there. The lunch counter, however,
I know,
sadly gone. Now, I wonder about this because I read just last week that Sears department stores are closing 57 stores up in Canada.
Wow.
Now, I wonder if they're making the same failings that Woolworth's did.
Probably.
Did not move with the times.
I have to say, because although we go to Sears all the time,
mm-hmm.
the Sears that we went into really looked sort of...
Tired.
Tired, yeah, tired. And I didn't feel special walking into it. No. Although, however, the people who helped us were great.
Yeah, we had to buy a new washing machine.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the store visually just needed a facelift, kind of, you know?
Certainly did.
So it's not just sort of the good service. You also need to have things kind of look good and sparkly and fresh.
So I'm just hoping good things because a lot of people work for Sears.
Yeah.
I just don't want to see them go away. So get better, you guys.
Yeah, like Brad and Julie, go out and reinvent yourself.
Absolutely. So I have a quote.
Okay.
Again, following our theme, They do this every week. Yes, they do. Success today requires the agility and drive to constantly rethink, reinvigorate, react, and reinvent. You'd think it was a poet.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's Bill Gates.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that cool?
So, just say one more time, because this really is what the show is about.
Yes, it is. Success today requires the ability and drive to constantly rethink, reinvigorate, react, and reinvent.
Wow, that is great.
Brilliant.
Well, that's the show in a nutshell, but I have one. I always like to leave with one. All right. The bad news is time flies. The good news is you are the pilot. I love it. Reinvent yourself. Don't be afraid. Go out there. You can do it. It doesn't matter that you're over 50. And remember, we weren't born yesterday.